President Trump was in Wisconsin last night for a campaign rally at UW-Milwaukee's Panther Arena. He talked to thousands of supporters about things like the new NAFTA deal and the upcoming impeachment trial. And he praised the state's economy, giving Wisconsin Republicans credit for the state's low unemployment numbers. Craig Gilbert is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was there for the rally. Craig, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
Set the scene for us, Craig. What was the crowd like? What was the mood?
Well, it was a big, kind of buoyant crowd. I mean, the people that he attracts to these rallies are really, really kind of passionate about President Trump, except for the handful of protesters, which is also sort of part of the theater at these rallies. And just, you know, a really kind of big moment in time in politics and a venue that is kind of at the epicenter of this election in many ways. You know, Milwaukee with all the symbolism of being the host city of the Democratic Convention and the biggest city in what a lot of people think is the most important state in this election, and a very Democratic city and a Republican president coming into that city and holding one of his kind of trademark kind of rowdy rallies.
Let's give a listen to President Trump from early in the rally, saying he's delivered on his campaign promises.
I said, I'm going to do this. We're going to take care of your trade. What we've done with China now, on Wednesday we signed, that's tomorrow. What we've done with the USMCA. What we've done with Japan, $40 billion trade deal, that a lot of it has to do with the farmers. South Korea. Oh, you got to love Trump. You got to love Trump.
Was that specific messaging there to Wisconsin voters, mentioning the farmers there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he did. There were some Wisconsin touches. I mean, you asked me to set the scene. I mean, there's several really distinctive things about these rallies. One is the length. I mean, they're really long. I mean, he went on for close to an hour and a half. And then he's sort of moving back and forth between just sort of ad-libbing and kind of shtick and stand-up and a script. And it's kind of an oddly jarring shifting back and forth between those two. And, you know, he knows how to play to the crowd, but he also in some ways kind of tests their endurance because he goes on for so long. And so there were a lot of Wisconsin touches. I mean, the obligatory nods to the Packers, to Aaron Rodgers. He brought up the Wisconsin Republican congressional delegation. He had Ron Johnson kind of speak in the middle of the rally on his behalf. And so I think everybody gets it who comes to these rallies that, that their state is really critical and Donald Trump is going to, is going to campaign really hard for their votes.
And there's an extended riff on dishes and dishwashers. Is that right?
Dishes,
and other appliances?
Yeah. Light bulbs and dishwashers and dishes and shampooing and, there's always like a bunch of, this kind of, I guess, falls into the category, depending on your point of view, of color or just weirdness in terms of, his riffing. And we got, he was kind of jokingly complaining about, environmental rules that, restrict the amount of water you can use in your dishwasher and how it's not going to get your dishes clean, and he's going to take care of that, and light bulb mandates that he's going to get rid of the environmentally sustainable light bulbs that make your skin look orange, which is also kind of an inside joke for President Trump. So there was a lot of that kind of banter during the evening, along with, his sort of trademark attacks on, Democrats from live Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, and then dead Democrats like Lyndon Johnson.
Talking to Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at President Trump's rally in Milwaukee last night and Wisconsin's role in the presidential election in 2020. Let's turn to that now, Craig. Wisconsin, you already mentioned it, the president coming here. We've got the Democratic Convention coming to Milwaukee as well. Like it or not, we're going to be getting a lot of attention this year, aren't we?
It reminds me in some ways of 2004 when we were about as targeted as a state could possibly be by both presidential campaigns. I mean, they were here all the time. they were crisscrossing the state in buses. I don't think they'll be campaigning quite at that retail level, but certainly President Trump will be here a lot, and Democrats don't want to repeat and have vowed not to repeat the mistake that Hillary Clinton made of not coming here last time around. So, yeah, we're very much at the epicenter. I think people get that. I mean, we'll be lavished with not only with media attention, with digital and television and radio advertising, and a lot of just, you know, nuts and bolts organizing, knocking on doors, social media organizing. It's going to be, I mean, both sides are going to leave no stones unturned. And I think that drives up turnout in several ways. Both the sheer awareness of the importance of the state, I think, drives up turnout, and also just the actual mechanics of getting of these get out the vote, these field operations, gets people to the polls. It mobilizes people.
You spend a lot of time looking at polls, and you have gone around the state talking to people. Are there a lot of people whose minds are going to be changed from Democrat to Republican or vice versa? Or is it, as you were just saying, it's all about getting people to turn out, the people who might be on the fence about voting at all out?
You know, it's both. I mean, you have to say there aren't a lot of people who are in play and who are persuadable. But part of, you know, being in play is just whether you vote or not. It's not just who you vote for. And so, you know, it's sort of persuasion bleeds over into mobilization when you think about, I mean, you have to get people to want to vote for you, but you also have to get them to vote, to want to vote. And, you know, I talked to so many people about 2016 who told me that they went into the voting booth not knowing how they were going to vote, or they went into the voting booth not liking the vote that they knew they were going to cast, whichever vote it was that they were going to cast. I mean, people were really unhappy with their choices, a lot of people. And that was part of the unpredictability of that election. I think we could see some of that again in 2020 easily.
We heard from Matt in Evansville, who says you can't spell win without W-I. That's probably true in 2020. Let's bring out a caller now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I was watching today that the impeachment passed in the House of Representatives, and I was wondering if the guests would comment. I mean, in general, Trump has been going through the impeachment process since he was elected. Do you think the actual impeachment will actually affect the election, or are people so, you know, dulled by what has been going on and the criticism of him that it'll just be tossed aside? Is it just another aspect of the politics that we're dealing with now?
Charlie, thanks. What do we know from polling, Craig, on whether impeachment is affecting President Trump?
Well, so there was just an actual poll out today by Marquette, a statewide poll. And when they asked people, I hope I'm getting this right because it's from memory, but when they asked people whether they approved of the House vote to impeach President Trump, it was something like 47% approved and 49% disapproved, which is basically 50-50, reflecting the pretty 50-50 divisions over President Trump when you look at his approval rating and also when you look at his head-to-head matchups with the leading Democrats in a November matchup. So, and if you ask them whether they think presidents should be convicted in the Senate, there's a little less support than there was for the House vote for impeachment. It's something like, you know, 47% or 49% against conviction and 42 or 43% for conviction. So it's very divisive and people are fairly evenly divided, but there's certainly not majority support for removing President Trump. And, you know, that's kind of where we are. So I think if it had an effect, it's going to have an effect on the margins. And, of course, the margins will matter.
Charlie, thanks for the call. Craig, as we wrap up, what are you going to be watching for between now and November as this election shakes out?
Well, I'll be looking at, you know, at the map. You know, there are a lot of really important dynamics when it comes to different parts of the state, and people are familiar with them by now. I mean, is Milwaukee going to turn out in large enough numbers for Democrats? Is President Trump, who underperformed kind of typical Republican levels in the Republican suburbs around Milwaukee, will that happen again, or can he bring those voters back? You know, can he replicate what was a stunning performance in small towns and in northern and western Wisconsin? So I'll be looking at the map. I'll be looking at some of the demographics. I'll be looking at the signs for turnout. I mean, I think we could have an historic turnout, but there will be indicators along the way. And I'm just really curious how, again, using some 2000 and 2004 as touchstones where we had really furious contests for the state, I'll be looking – to for a repeat of that, but I think it's going to, you know, I'm looking at how it differs from the way they fought for the state in those elections, too.
Craig, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Great to be with you.
That's Craig Gilbert, political reporter and Washington bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, with us today to break down what we saw yesterday at President Trump's campaign rally in Milwaukee.